I can't tell you how many times this week that I have heard that this is the unofficial start to summer, right? It's the unofficial start to summer here, this Labor, this Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I've heard it so many times that I think we should just, you know, cut it out and just say, look, this is the official unofficial start to summer. It's here. People are blasting off. Some of our own people have kind of gotten a head start here, and they're off and out and about. But folks do that, and that's a good thing to get out and about. And today we're going to be celebrating three things that really is a driving force for a lot of the out and aboutness that people engage themselves in. And the title of our sermon is The Sabbath, the City, and the Riverside from Acts chapter 16. And we're just going to look at the very first clause of verse 13. The Sabbath, the City, and the Riverside. Let me read that and then we'll pray. On the Sabbath, this was a part of our lectionary. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this. And Father, as we explore the lectionary, the readings that you've given us this day, and we explore their impact on us, and we thank you for the way that your glories are reflected in nature. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to enjoy all things. And supremely, we would ask that all these things that we enjoy, that we would be led to greater worship and appreciation for you. We pray that you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. The Sabbath, the city, and the riverside represent three great gifts that God gives to us in particular. They're reflected in nature, and those three same great gifts are given to all of humanity, to all people. But they're three great gifts. And when we come to church here today, I'm fond of trying to remind us of this. When we talk about a worship service or going to service or Lord's Day service, it isn't so much an emphasis on what we do for Him. It's not our service to Him. It's His service to us. And again, already He has called us graciously. Already, graciously, upon our confession, He has forgiven us of our sin. Thirdly, He comes and He pours His water, the water of the Word, upon us. Thirdly. Then fourthly, He ends up inviting us to His table and we commune with Him. And then fifthly, He gives us a commission and He sends us up. These are all great gifts in a church service. But today, when I talk about the Sabbath, the city, and the riverside, those are three great gifts too. They're present here, but they're also reflected out there. These three great gifts are gifts that God grants to His people. Old people crave them. And old people, in their own way, pursue them. They may be pursuing them in different ways, but they're pursuing them. Here in Acts in chapter 16, as well as the other lectionary readings that we have heard thus far today, the Sabbath, the city, and the riverside are all present in all three of them. And they dominate the landscape of those passages. These are gifts. These are gifts that too often are taken for granted. You might be saying, Pastor Jim, I'm confused. I don't have any idea what it is you're talking about here. The Sabbath, the city, the riverside. How are these gifts? How are they taken for granted? Let me rephrase them. Let me say them in a different way. Let me recharacterize them for you, and then maybe you can see what I mean. When I talk about Sabbath, I'm talking about time. And I'm talking about rest. True rest. When I talk about the city, I want you to think a place. I have a home. I have a place where I feel welcome. I have a place where I belong. When we talk about the riverside, we're talking about life itself. We're talking about water. Water is life. In the scriptures, we read about the water of life. And God has given all three of these. They're out there in nature, but they're in here as well. Brethren, what I want to say to you here today is this, is that modern man is starving for these three. They are starving for these. They're starving for time. I mean, you know, read any news report. We're stressed out. We have no time. You know, we have all these time-saving devices, but we feel like we have no time. And certainly, whatever leisure time we feel like we have, even that is stressful, and we're not abiding in true rest. Modern man is starving for time, an element of true rest in their life. Modern man, furthermore, is starving for a place, a sense in which, Noah, I really belong here. A home. A place where I can really be myself and be in my element. Now I think of that, and I know I'm dating myself here again, and not that I was ever a fan of this, but I know enough about Cheers, that TV show, that it was the place where everybody knew your name. It was a place where you could just be you and belong. And have a sense of community. And then there's the water of life. You know, not only a time and not only a place, but a time and a place where I can really and truly be alive and feel alive. Think about folks out this weekend. Often, very often, the destination is a lake, a river, an ocean. There's something about water that we identify. Water is life. Water is vitality. Water is reinvigorating. We feel alive when we're around water. A very great deal of the travel pursuits this weekend are with these longings as motivations. Life is too hectic. I need more time. I gotta get away. I'm sick of this place. I gotta get out of here. And I have to go somewhere where I feel not only that I belong and I can identify with, but I can feel alive there. Hear me clearly, these longings are not wrong or sinful. Far from it. We're creatures. God knows we're creatures. He knows these longings. They're not wrong, they're not sinful. Those destinations are not evil places. On the other hand, none of it can fully substitute for what God has granted. In the Sabbath, in the city, and by the riverside or the waterside. He has provided there, in the Sabbath, in the city, and by the waterside, he has provided time and place and the water of life, living water. Again, modern man is starving for these. But because of their rejection of the giver of these things, because of their rejection of the giver of these things, because of truth suppression. Brother Joe preached about that at the mission some weeks ago. Suppressing the truth about God, because of that rejection, because of the rejection of the giver and the suppression of that truth, modern man has what? Barrenness and bitterness instead of this fruitfulness and health. Because of their rejection of the giver, they expect too much of the gifts. These gifts were given so that we would glorify God. We would enjoy them, but we glorify God. If we reject the giver, we're going to look only to the gifts. And you know what? These gifts We're going to expect too much of them. We're going to make an idol of them. We're going to expect way too much of them. This weekend won't be long enough. That special place, that special destination won't be good enough. Won't quite feel enough like home. And that water destination will not be that which satisfies my soul. Idols always lead to greater and greater need, perversion, and addiction. You've been to a waterfall this high, you gotta go to a waterfall this high the next time. Go to a waterfall this high, you gotta see a waterfall this high. These are gifts, these are good, there's nothing evil, there's nothing wrong with them. But as replacements for the giver, they always fall short. Now, none of this is to disparage in any way a trip to the lake. We're not anti-nature here. God is in charge of nature. He gave nature. He gave the lake. He gave those special places. He gave the city. He's the master of time. We're not here to disparage it. A trip to the lake is okay. I want to read for you just a bit. Or, you know, when you have a lectionary reading, as we follow the lectionary here, normally there's a prayer connected to it. It's called a collect. And I want to read a collect that is connected with this, these readings here today. Oh God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things. You know, like time, like a place, like a riverside. As surpass our understanding, and really what we're going to be talking about is not so much the time and the place and the water itself, but we're going to be talking about the Sabbath and the city, the spiritual city that God has made us a part of. And the living water, the water of the word that he's given to us. But we can go back and forth in our mind and compare and contrast as a symbol. But all of those things out there in the world are, they are all the more true in what God has given us here, spiritually. Lord, you've given us all these good things. Pour into our hearts such love towards you. We love them, love towards you, that we, loving you in all things, can you enjoy the lake? Yes. Can you enjoy that special place? Yes. Can you enjoy that extra time off and rest? Yes. That we, loving you in those things and above those things, beautiful, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Knowing him exceeds the desire of the longest vacation at the greatest place at the most beautiful water park you have ever been. That we may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. We crave time. We crave place. We crave living water. But they point us to God. And God gives us these things. He gives us these things in the Sabbath. He gives us these things in the city, the community of believers. And he gives us these things by the riverside, the water of life. And he gives us these things that they would point us to him, that we would worship him all the more. Let's quickly survey our Bible text here. In Acts in chapter 16, verses 11 through 13, it's plain enough here for us to see the Sabbath. Seeing the Sabbath here and seeing the riverside, that's really, really plain to us here. But it's also all about the city. Now, you say, boy, this doesn't really look like it's about the city, but I assure you that it is about the city. True enough, we can see even in this first verse here. I remember reading this here. I was going to title this sermon, Loosing from Troy. You know, Troas. That's Troy. That's the ancient terminology for Troy. Yeah. Let's get out of Troy, right? Sounds like a great idea. Some of us have already done that, right? We would applaud that. You know, we've kind of had it with Troy in a sense. Although, we do have Helen here, right? Helen of Troy. The face that launched 1,000 ships. But there's a part of Troy, you know, who needs that, right? They felt the same way. This was the Macedonian call. They were in Troy, and the people from over there in Greece and Philippi said, come over and help us. Paul said, yeah, I think I'll do that. I'll get out of Troy. But that's not where they are here in our text in verse 13. Okay? This is set in Philippi. And in verse 13 here, where we read it, where it says, you know, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city. Where's David? David, sorry. This King James is killing us today. That word is not city. In the Greek. City is polis. This is pouli. It means gate. They simply went outside the gates. You know, there's a downtown area and there's a gate. This was a gate. They're still in the vicinity, the limits of the city here. They're in Philippi here. They went outside the gate. As a matter of fact, if we look at it, we have the RSV version of that. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate. There it is, okay? More accurate translation of what the Greek is saying to us here. So in this verse 13 here, we have the Sabbath. They're still there in the city. They may not be downtown, but they went outside the gate. They didn't go out of the city. They went outside the gate. And they're by the riverside. It's kind of like going down to a waterfront in Troy. You're not outside the city. You're not downtown. But you're still there in the city. And how do we know that they're in the city there? I mean, think about what's happening. People are resorting there. Right? There's a community there. That's where they gathered together for prayer. They had fellowship. They had oneness. They had a community there. That's what's going on here in this verse. They had Sabbath, they had city, and they had the river. How about quickly in the Gospel of John, our lesson there from John in chapter 2. I don't know if you picked up on this when I was reading it. There is at Jerusalem, that's a city, right? By the sheep pool. There's water there, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these days, you know, this second part of this verse here kind of reminded me of us. You know, we all have our needs, and we wait upon God. And, you know, Karen and I sometimes half jokingly, but certainly prayerfully, we say, you know, what is it about Oakwood? I mean, we're kind of like the island of misfit toys. And we're, you know, that's what I see, what I see. But they're in the city, and they have water there. And oh, by the way, did you hear this when the gospel was read in verse 9? Oh, by the way, in verse 9 of John 5, immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he walked. And the same day was the Sabbath day. They were in the city, there was water there, and it was the Sabbath. And here's a man who's made whole in the context of a city, a Sabbath, and the living water. How about the book of Revelation? You know, I guess to start here, the book of Revelation, the whole thing is on the Sabbath day. We look at Revelation 1. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, and by the way, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's the Sabbath. The whole book of Revelation is taking place on the Sabbath. And oh, by the way, even though he's alone in exile here, he has a community. He has this fellowship. He is a part of this great city. He's on the island called Patmos. I mean, certainly he's surrounded by water, right? All of them are there. But more specifically, the lesson that we had in Revelation went beyond that. In Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, we had this read for us. It's on the Sabbath day because the Sabbath day frames the entire book. It's in the city. We'll look at that a little bit later, but certainly we have this river of life here. This river flowing through it. This water. This vitality. This reinvigoration that is ours. You know, this street that we see in verse 2? Show me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and in the midst of the street. You see that street there? If we go back to chapter 21 and verse 21, we will see that this street of the city, there's only one street in this city. So here they are in this city. And by the way, this whole passage was about the city. Remember chapter 21, verse 10, we had this read for us here. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So everything that's happening in Revelation, in these final chapters here, and on the Sabbath, it's all about the city, and there's just water everywhere, the water of life. Can we see the gifts and the provision of God in our lives? And can we see these same gifts and this provision of God for us here, even at Oakland? We gather here at the Sabbath. We're a city. The water of life is flowing out in our lessons. As we gather, we enjoy these gifts. We enjoy a time and a place, and we enjoy the water of the Word. And again, the Lord's Day service is not about us serving Him, it's about Him serving us. These three great gifts and more. Let me break this out a bit. Time. We've talked about the Sabbath here. We've talked about the Sabbath here a lot. And the Bible is very, very clear. The Sabbath was made for man. We need it. And if a culture ever needed it, it's ours. And make no mistake, the motivation for, in large part, what's happening here, would to God we remembered our fallen soldiers more. But in large part, I don't want to go there with that. In large part, we're craving time. And if we're going to be Sabbath keepers, God has given it to us. We need it. And on top of all of the other things that the Sabbath, and I've talked about this before, the Sabbath displays and it preserves our freedom. I think it was about a year ago when I talked about freedom and Sabbath. And you know what? Where we neglect the Sabbath, we will lose our freedom. And that's blaringly obvious in our culture, that as we are neglecting the Sabbath, we're losing our freedom. You say, wait a minute, I'm not a slave, but wait a minute. We are slaves to our employers, to our recreations. We're slaves to ourselves. And so we feel like we have no time. But the gift of the Sabbath means that we're not a slave to our employers. We're not a slave to our recreations. We're not even a slave to ourselves. Did I put up Deuteronomy 5:15 there? I probably didn't call for that. But there it is right there, that whole nexus between the Sabbath and freedom. God is the slavery slayer. And any culture who rejects God is inviting slavery. It may not come in the form of those physical chains that we may think of. But our culture is steeped in being a slave. We have no time. God gives us that time and that true rest in this habit. I hope you enjoy that. I hope you appreciate that. What a need that is for modern man. Because modern man is restless and slave. About the city, let's break that out just a little bit. Place, the idea of belonging, I talked about this, the idea of community, the idea of security, the idea that you have a home. Look at Revelation 21, verses 16 and 17. This is describing this great city, right? And there's a whole bunch here, there's streets of gold and pearls and gates and all that other stuff, but I just want to break out this one thing here about its size and about its walls. Verse 16 says, the city lies four square, and their length is larger than the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Some people say, oh, get my calculator out, what is that? Oh, it's 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles every which way, and it's this big thing. And so, well, gee, what if you needed enough people, what if you needed enough room for 1,600 miles? Are they out? Now, the point of this verse here about the size of the city that God is building, the size of the city of which we are a part, is 12, a symbolic, figurative number. 12, a thousand, which is another symbolic, figurative number. The furlongs are a length. The point of that distance about the measurement of this city is that there's enough room for you. Of course, the Bible's saying it's big. But it's not about getting out your calculator and figuring out how many square miles it is. There's enough room for you. There are enough room for all the tribes of true Israel to come in. And how about those walls here, verse 17? And he measured the walls thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. 144, you know, some people get their calculator and they go, oh, a cubit is 18 inches, that's a foot and a half. If I multiply 144 by a foot and a half, I get 216 feet. So the walls, and it doesn't say if it's height or width here, but let's say it's both, right? Let's say it's 216 feet high. Well, what if your enemy has a rocket that can shoot 217 feet? Oh, no. Or let's say the wall is 216 feet thick, but your enemy has a rocket that can shoot 217 feet. The point of the 144 cubits is that you are completely safe, you're completely secure in this city. You belong. The wall is high enough, the wall is thick enough. Oh, how we misread what God is telling us and what He's giving us. What a need for modern man to feel like they belong and to feel safe and to feel secure and to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. You know, I have a bad habit of watching the news in the morning. And, the news in the morning is bad enough, but the commercials are even worse. And several times this week watching the news, I'm seeing this commercial, and this commercial comes on. It's a very appealing and effective commercial, and it's appealing to the very same thing that I'm talking about right now. And the appeal of the commercial is, you know, why don't you join something, you know, be a part of something great. Join something bigger and better than yourself. Don't you want to be a part of something great? And it lists the various things that being a part of this group would bring. Help make you great. Help make you feel like you're a part of something bigger and better than yourself. And then I find out what they really want me to do is to join SEFCU, the State Employees Federal Credit Union. No offense, right? And with all due respect, come on. Really? Joining the State Employees Federal Credit Union is somehow going to change my life? Is that the best of community? Is that the best of city? Is that the best of belonging that the world has to offer? It might be the best of what the world has to offer. How about the water of life here in John chapter 5 and verse 8? You know, the water is the word, right? The word of the water, the washing of the water, the word, the word. Jesus speaks the word with power. John 5 and 8. What does he say? He really only needed to say that first word. Rise! And he goes. In Acts in chapter 16 and verse 14, our other lectionary reading, we have Lydia there. And it says that her heart was open. Her heart was open, attending to the word. She experienced the vitality, the reinvigoration that is the Word of God. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, we read that the Spirit and the church, that's who the bride is, the Spirit and the church invite all to come and to take of this water of life and take it freely. Brothers and sisters, what great gifts, these three gifts we have. The gift of Sabbath, the gift of the city, and the gift of the riverside. But it gets even better, because we not only get the gifts, we get the giver. Moments from now, when we go to this table right here, Revelation 22 and verse 2 tells us that on that Sabbath, in that city, by that waterside, there is a tree of life which represents the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, offered, given to us, bringing health and healing to all of the nations, making us whole, even if we are an island of misfit toys. Praise be. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for your gifts. And again, Father, in no way do we disparage that which is simply a reflection of your good gifts. Lord, we thank you for lakes and rivers and places to go. We thank you for the opportunity to visit places where we can identify with them and feel like we belong. And we thank you, Lord, for time. And Father, I do pray for those who are traveling that their pursuits will lead them to you, and that they would not be a substitute for these greater gifts, Lord, that you give to us. So thank you for these here. And Lord, we trust that these gifts have helped us to appreciate you. And we pray, Lord, that these gifts will help us to worship you and all the more give thanks and praise to you and the opportunity that we have to partake of the tree of life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.